Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. It's time.
What did you just do to me, sign guy?
I don't know.
And you muted and you unmuted. You ruined the intro. You ruined it all. That's it. I quit. Huh?
Then you'll never win.
Yes, I will. Quitters always win.
No, they never win.
They never
and
win.
And it was a blog talk issue. We didn't hear a word you said.
Greetings, welcome to Total Dudes, I'm your excellent show for two Total Dudes, or you want Total Dudes show like the entire world. I want to have those wonderful dudes on Zop Hunk and Pop Punk, the brains behind America's favorite roughly the Zimmer Mountain score, Pop Punk band, the Razor Ramones. I am Rex Razor Sharp, and joining as always on the Sergeant's Journey of the Niners, the host, Jeremy Bowe, Turner Mountain, the host, Stein Tynes, the host, Stein Guys Wrestling Show. He's the Marsha Clark to my Johnny Cochran, so if the show's bunk, don't watch the junk, follow the show. Genius known as Stein Guy. Stein Guy, how you doing?
A little perplexed this evening, a little perplexed indeed.
Yes, why are you perplexed?
Because I don't understand why the mayor, the chief of police, or someone didn't just put up a big net or maybe a giant mattress, shoot a tranquilizer dart up there at man and tree, and knock him out like he's a bear. It would have saved the city probably millions of dollars, would have stopped the closing of Macy's for a full day. It would have unlocked the gridlock that was going on. They could have taken half an hour, had the situation resolved, but they're like, we don't want to upset man and tree. What if he gets his feelings hurt that we foiled his plan? We'll just let him dictate to us what he wants to do. So he just ruins the Christmas tree that has been there for 40 years. They don't know if they can save it or not. Maybe, maybe not. And they're like, well, we can't arrest him or charge him with the crime. He may get upset. It might hurt his feelings if we charge him with the crime. We'll just let it be. Just let it be.
To be fair, Daniel Bryan does have a lot of free time these days. He canceled his Daniel Bryan Appreciation Night at Madison Square Garden. He canceled that whole tour he's doing. He canceled his WrestleMania appearances. I think he was planning on setting this tree for much longer than 24 hours.
Possibly. He might have gone up there with Man and Tree if Man and Tree hadn't just willy-nilly decided to walk on down. Now, the police, they could have ended this with a tranquilizer dart because you've seen them do it to bears countless times. The bears not ripping apart a Christmas tree that the city spent thousands upon thousands of dollars to save just in the last 5 years. The bears don't get to dictate when they come down. They don't say, well, maybe the bears would be upset if we got them out of the tree before they were ready. But man and tree rips the branches out of the tree, completely shreds it of its top branches, throws the branches at passing pedestrians, police officers, firefighters, and they're like, maybe he wants to talk. Maybe when he's ready, he'll come down and he'll tell us how he feels. Why don't they do that for the bear? The bear doesn't get that, but man and tree, who causes way more damage, cost the city millions more dollars, he gets to dictate. He gets to say, I feel like I want to come down in 25 hours, but if you could kindly shut down 4 city blocks for me while I think this through, that'd be great. And the city's like, sure, anything you need, man and tree.
All right, that's the show for this evening. Tune in again next time when we talk about things literally no one cares about.
That's not true, otherwise it wouldn't have been the number one trend in Twitter for 25 hours going with multiple live feeds.
So you're telling me this was trending more than the terror attack in Belgium?
It actually was, yes. It was the number one trend in Twitter.
But are you looking at the tweets that are tailored for your interests, or are you looking at global, worldwide tweets?
It was global, worldwide, apparently, according to the article I read.
I'm going to look. I'm just going to take a look and see while you tell me about this. While I look this up, what do you think about Hulk Hogan? He's got Scrooge McDuck money now. How about that?
Well, I think he deserved a lot of restitution because that Gawker outfit, they pretty much ruined his career. They hampered his ability to make his living because of the whole leaking of the, like, audio of the one clip. So I think he was deserved of quite a bit of restitution. I don't know if he would have made $115 million from WWE with all of his royalties and appearances and so forth, but he might have. Who are we to say?
I'm looking at the top trends worldwide for today, and pretty much the entire day it has been hashtag National Puppy Day.
Yeah, that's
now,
what
wait,
I read.
Is this Justin fella? Could it be We Are Here For You, Justin?
No, the man's name is Man and Tree.
There's no... I'm looking all the way back to 24 hours ago, and there's nothing. The top trends today, I'll read them off to you, have been hashtag MasterChefBR. That was the top trend for 4 hours. EB God Gave Me You was a top trend for an hour. Hashtag We Are Here For You, Justin was the top trend for 3 hours. Hashtag RIP Fife, referencing that rapper Fife Dog that passed away, was the top trend for an hour. And since then, for the last 11 hours, it's been National Puppy Day. Oh, wait. Hashtag child abusers protected in Turkey.
Well, from a reliable source that is Como TV, I will quote from the article, meanwhile, on the internet, hashtag man and tree went viral on Twitter, becoming a trending hashtag nationwide.
Almost live stream
of the entire event had tens of thousands across the Northwest and the world riveted to their computer and phone screens as the drama unfolded. An anonymous user even created and was tweeting from the Twitter handle @manandtree. End quote.
So that, thank you for reading that to me. It proved that you were wrong and incorrect. Thank you.
I didn't write the article, and I'm guessing Como TV is never wrong.
No, but you were wrong in stating that it was the top trend when it clearly said it just became a trending topic.
Which you claimed it did not.
It didn't. It was not the top trending topic. That's hashtag National Puppy Day for the last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 hours at least.
Well, maybe in your house...
No, worldwide. Top Twitter trends for worldwide today. Yeah. And you can go
to
Trend24.
We all know your world encompasses your house.
No, this is worldwide.
Sure it is.
Let me look at even just U.S. trends and see if maybe it's top for the United States. National Puppy Day, National Puppy Day, National Puppy Day, National Puppy Day, National Puppy Day. National Puppy Day, 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 National Puppy Day. Oh, Fife Dog, he came in over National Puppy Day. Then Cat Williams. So it's a dog, a cat, and puppies. That's all it is, brother. No man and tree.
Yeah, I'm not
a
buying
dog,
that.
A cat. You can look it up. Oh, here's where Man and Tree did finally make it on here. It was approximately 20-ish hours ago. He made it all the way up to the number 2 trend in the United States, but averaged more around the number 4 trend in the United States. So it was trending, just not the top trend.
Sure. Now, why didn't they just shoot him down like a bear? Answer me that. Why did they let him decide how long he would stand up there and throw things at people and put people in danger and have no net in case he did slip and fall?
Well, let me ask you a question. What was the ethnicity of this fella?
He was a white guy.
Yeah, that's why. If it would have been a black fellow, they would have shot him out within the first 5 seconds.
Well, that's just Beast and his love of firearms. But I'm talking, you know, why didn't they just shoot a tranquilizer dart up there, have him fall into the net, and then take him to Harborview Hospital? Why did they have to dilly-dally around for 25 hours until he got bored and came down, and then he said, okay, now you can put me on the gurney. Now you can drive me to Harborview. And they're like, can we charge you with a crime? And he's like, nope. And they're like, okay, sorry we asked.
Oh, my God, this tree shit. Let's get – there's a question that's burning in the minds of all the listeners, every single tens of them. Want to know, sign guy, how did Purdue do in the NCAA tournament this last week?
They made the tournament. Why couldn't they just take a helicopter, fly by, and pull him into the helicopter? He'd pulled all of the top branches off. It was bare up there. They could have easily just snatched him right out, maybe chased him down with the helicopter. It would have been quicker and more effective than just sitting there and saying, we'll just close down downtown Seattle and all the thousands of people can just stand around not being able to access the Metro Tunnel or Macy's or get to where they need to be.
So
one guy.
They made the tournament.
One guy.
How did they perform in said tournament? Were they victorious?
They were not. But more importantly, Beast Barnett successfully and without hesitation called that Middle Tennessee State game. He's a big Middle Tennessee State fan. He got that one right.
But I want to discuss the Purdue Boilermakers because you, on this very show, said they were the best team in college basketball.
Yes,
so,
and you agreed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, what happened?
Well, sometimes the best team doesn't always win the championship. It happens.
Sometimes the best team doesn't make it out of the round of 64 either, I guess, huh?
Sometimes. Do you remember Connecticut when they got beat?
They were a one seed?
They were a one seed, and they got beat by University of Washington.
A 16 seed? That's never happened, ever, in tournament history.
No, they weren't the number one seed, but they were a number one team.
Yeah, we're talking about...
They were number one during the course of the season.
at some point. Oh, okay. So we're just talking semantics now. But so Purdue lost, huh?
Yeah, it happens sometimes. So did a lot of teams. Michigan State lost.
Yeah. Butler, yeah.
So 32 teams lost in the opening round of 64 this year?
You know, there's 16 teams left. 16 really, really great teams, all of which are better than the Purdue Boilermakers.
As I wouldn't agree with that at all. But, yeah, like you were,
well, I
you
would,
were pointing out, my pick still in the final 16.
The Indiana Hoosiers?
No. Duke.
Yeah, you told me.
Yeah, I did
no.
tell you Duke. Yes,
you
I did.
Legit, you sent me a text the other day, and you said, listen, I'm sick of rooting for these garbage can Boilermakers. This black and gold just looks like a mess of like a toilet that's not been cleaned in about 8 years. I'm ready to don that beautiful cream and crimson and root for the good guys, root for the winners, root for those that always come out on top. You sent me that text.
No, I didn't. That doesn't even sound like
something
I would even remotely come close to saying.
Well, you have had a lot of concussions, so perhaps you forgot.
No, I would have remembered that, and it would have been in my phone somewhere. But I did successfully predict Hawaii's first ever win in the tournament. I called that one.
Yeah, too bad you couldn't have predicted Purdue being a hideous failure like I did.
That's because they weren't. If they would have failed, they wouldn't have been in the tournament, right?
I think losing in the opening round of the tournament is a bit of a failure.
Yeah, not really, because look at all the teams that didn't make the tournament at all. Look at the school. Beast Barnett will be attending very soon, Wyoming. They failed to make the tournament this year, despite the fact that last year they were in said tournament. I don't think that the Cowboys even made the NITs, did they?
I don't know. Purdue would have been better off in the NITs.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. They still wouldn't have competed there either.
They probably would have been fine, but it happens.
They're more of a NAIA kind of team.
Mm-hmm. Sure, sure.
Yeah. So what's the scuttlebutt around the water cooler besides the crushing failure of your Purdue Boilermakers?
Well, we already discussed Man and Tree, and you got that completely wrong. But besides that, the scuttlebutt around the water cooler is that when Beast Barnett went to karaoke the other day, he found a pair of glasses, and now he can see perfectly fine.
Oh, wow, that's pretty impressive. Now, could these glasses perhaps have been glasses left behind by a ghost of Roddy Piper leaving behind those They Live glasses for someone to carry on the mantle and see the truth, really see
no,
what's going
because
on?
Those were sunglasses, and Beast glasses are like old man black eyeglasses.
Oh. So it's just some creep's glasses?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh. Well, that led me down again. Now, I know, it must be like what it feels like to be a Purdue Boilermaker fan. These constant letdowns.
No. No.
Well, should we just do the show and let me start screaming? Or what do you think?
Well, all right.
Hit the music.
Yeah.
time is Simon is Total Dialogue Time. That's the segment of the show where we take a scene from the episode of Total Divas we watched, we transcribe said scene, and we recreate it for you, the listener, at no additional charge. Tonight's scene will feature Sign Guy as Brianna Bella, and I will be Brian Danielson. And scene.
Would you care if I stayed?
If you want to stay here with them, you can. Bro, I'll just be very disappointed in you and our life together.
Now.
Yes.
Now, because you're my number one.
Nah, bro, clearly not.
Now, you are.
Clearly not, no. I want to go do stuff, because that's what I want to do. And scene. Sign Guy, what was this?
This was a great scene where Bree chased Brian into their hotel room at this hippie resort. And she was concerned that he would get angry if she stuck around with Renee Young, Dean Ambrose, JJ, and JJ's wife, Lauren, and got Bree Mo. He didn't care. He's like, I don't care what you do. I'm just going to go see this reincarnated Buddha fella. And then I'm going to go sit in the Zen room because that's what I want to do. And he's like, oh, no, you're my number one, Commander Riker. And she winked. And he's like, clearly not, because you want to get Bree mode, because Captain Morgan Rum is your number one, Captain Picard. And then he winked.
So, let me start this off. I fucking hated Daniel Bryan so goddamn much this fucking episode that it drove me to rage. A rage that you might say could make me star on NXT as Alex Riley. A rage just burning inside me. So this fucking kook decides...
Wait. Let me stop you. Was this rage possibly against Machine?
No, Daniel Bryan is never been known as the Machine.
But was your rage against a machine? Like, did you rage against a computer or maybe a television set, anything like that?
I raged against my liver by drinking the Miller Lights.
So it was like the rage that you have 24 hours a day?
Pretty much.
All right. Continue.
Well, we're going to rally around the table.
Let me stop you. Was this rage?
Yes.
Despite being locked in a cage?
I would say despite all my rage, it was not locked in the cage. It was very out in the open. So despite all of my rage, you know, I don't think so.
All right, continue.
All right, so this fucking kook, Daniel Bryan, he plans a trip for him and his buddies to go to Sedona. Their favorite place, right?
They might have a fair.
Yeah, they go there. They go. They look at rocks. They get married there. They do all this stuff. They constantly make people go there. Now, imagine going on a vacation with this fucking geek. So his plans that he states are they're going to meet up with a reincarnated Buddha. a reincarnated Buddha. And I don't think he was even that fat of a guy. Can you imagine if you went and you met up with a reincarnated Buddha and it was a little skinny fella? Would you be furious? Would you demand your money back?
I know what you're asking me here. You're asking me, did I ever ask for a refund to SCW if I saw Son of Buddha, Miles? I never did. He was a nice kid just trying to make his way into the wrestling business. He couldn't help if his dad threw him in way over his head before he was ready. But, you know, I got along with both of them. But, no, I never asked for a refund when I watched Miles, Son of Buddha.
And then his next stop is they're going to go to a teepee temple. How's that sound, sign guy? A teepee temple.
When I first watched it, when I heard him say that, I thought at first he said a peepee temple. I'm like, why are they going to go and just take a massive leak at this temple? And then I realized what he had said, and I said, oh, a teepee temple. Like what Chief Atakula Kula would use.
Mm-hmm. Our Chief Tacoma Sack.
Or maybe the late Chief J. Strongbow.
Or maybe the Kansas City Chief.
Possibly.
And so his third stop on this whirlwind tour of fucking bullshit was to go to a stupo, which is apparently a sacred place. But I think it should just be renamed a stupid. A fucking goddamn stupid. Would you go to a stupo, sign guy?
Not by myself.
Stupo. Hey, welcome to... I believe it is It's a long-lost Indian term for... con white man out of his bullshit money because he's a fucking idiot. Hippie. I can't confirm that.
Who do you think could confirm it?
Probably Chief J. Strongbow, but he's long gone.
Yeah.
I wonder how you spell stupo. I'm trying to find stupo, but I can't find anything that would even... like, nothing works for stupo. I think maybe Daniel Bryan didn't know what he was talking about. I think maybe Breeze worn off on him to where he'll talk about shit he doesn't have a fucking clue about.
Now, do you think that maybe there's a small chance he was ribbing these people and he made most of this up so they would want to just sit at the bar and drink while he went out and did the actual things that this resort had to offer?
No, because he made them go with him to all these fucking dumbass places, which we'll get to. But he just talked about how it's a reawakening and a rebirthing, and for fucking goddamn sake, this is just painful. This is a painful experience. And then they're at dinner, and he's got all these, like, quinoa, and there's fucking just rice. It just looked like different bowls of rice they were eating, basically. And then everyone was like, where are the fucking enchiladas? And he's like, no enchiladas. This is about cleanse. This is about, you know, healthiness. And then they're like, what about rewarding ourselves? And he fucking says, this is rewarding ourselves. Look at these views. God damn it, shut up. If someone said that to you, sign guy, what would you do?
I'd say, well, you have a point. And then I'd say, now, I want to reward you by letting you have the better view of the Rock. And while he's looking at the Rock, I'd slip out and go to, like, an actual resort.
Mm-hmm. I would say... motherfucker, remember when I took you to Taco Bell and you ate like fucking a 7-layer burrito? Shut the fuck up. God damn it. Let's get some food and fuck off with this bullshit. That's what I'd say.
Unless there were more than just the two of you in a private setting, and then you'd say, I got stuff to do.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Here. And then you would run away.
I would throw that flaming hot Kiwa right down his fucking gullet, and then I'd shove a fucking organic smoothie up his poop hole, and then I'd be out of there.
What type of smoothie do you think you would best be served going up there?
Well, there would definitely be radishes in it, I'm sure. He seems like a radish kind of fella. And they seem like they would probably grow in that area. I don't know a lot about radishes, but they seem like a dirt vegetable that could grow anywhere. Probably cactus juice, so it might be somewhat hallucinogenic. And probably peppers. Isn't that all they have there?
Probably. Now, I found this stupa. I have found it.
How'd you spell it?
It is spelled correctly, S-T-U-P-A.
Oh, I didn't think of an A. I thought it was a stoop O, stoop up.
Oh,
it's a stupa. It's more Buddhist bullshit, huh?
Yes, it is the Amitabha Stupa and Peace Park, relocated in Sedona, Arizona.
Well, does anything about it look like it would be somewhere you'd want to spend more than, say, 2 minutes looking at it and going, huh, that's a cool place?
Probably not me personally.
So, yeah, I think about 2 minutes. I think if I were on vacation in Sedona, which I'll never, ever fucking be, I would look at this stupa and I would say, wow, that's pretty cool. And then I would be like, oh, look, over there, there's a fucking cactus. I don't know. Amitabha? Amitabha, yeah. Stupa and Peace Park. Oh, my God. Never mind. I would never go to a place called the Amitabha Stupa and Peace Park. Oh, my God. So then, you know, they should we... Man, it's hard for me. There's so much that I want to combine here because I think it all combines. But I'll skip the TP for a minute because we'll get to that. So that following their TP journey, they go back again to have dinner, and that's when everyone's getting their fucking enchiladas. They're getting their fucking chilaquiles verdes, they're getting their fucking margaritas, and Daniel Bryan's just pissed about their fucking tacos. He's like, this is supposed to be healthy. And then they're like, we need alcohol. It's like for our brains. It'll make us feel better. He was just says, alcohol is the crutch for all you modern people who are weak. For fuck's sake. You modern people? Daniel Bryan, you live in this modern world too, you fucking kook. What do you make of this thing, guys? The tacos, the enchiladas, the chilaquiles verdes, the booze, the modern people line. What do you make of it?
I think you were just upset when he called you out.
No.
He's like alcohol's just
time.
A crutch for you modern people, and you're like, quit calling me out, Daniel Bryan. I'll spit
and
on
you
your face as long as we're in a private setting just between you and myself where no one else can see or hear us.
You know what I would tell him? I'd say, who's weak, brother? I could go get in the ring and wrestle right now. Hey, I can lift 8 pounds with my left arm. Fuck off, you little midget vanilla geek. I can reach the top shelf in my kitchen without a fucking child step stool. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'd say to him. Now who's weak?
I'd say in a week when you say, oh, I take that back because Daniel Bryan's coming to my area. That'll be weak.
No.
But to continue, I did find how to use a stupa And this gives very detailed information on how one actually uses a stupa.
Oh, well, do tell. Oh, I see your link. Let me click on it. You do tell. I'll just look over it here.
Now.
Oh, my God.
Apparently, you walk in a clockwise direction at least 3 times while reciting mantra or making heartfelt prayers for the benefit of loved ones, the state of the world, or all sentient beings. Or you can also simply sit in front of a stupa and generate good thoughts, compassion, and loving kindness for all beings. It also beneficial to make offerings on the altar in front of a stupa. It is important that when finished, you seal the blessings of your prayers, circumambulation, and offerings by dedicating the merit with a thought like, by this effort, may all sentient beings be free of suffering. May their minds be filled with the nectar of virtue. In this way, may all causes resulting in suffering be extinguished, and only the light of compassion shine throughout all realms.
That fills me with so much rage. Let me read this part, though. By prostrating before a stupa, we turn our face away from our egos and toward our enlightened nature. By circumambulating, walking around the stupa in a clockwise fashion and reciting prayers like a fucking lunatic kook just fucking barking at the moon, we keep the image of enlightenment at the center of our attention. This is stupas. Fucking stupid. Now, their meal's done, you know. Daniel Bryan, he wants to fucking go do his meditation with the fucking Buddhist priest at the stupa. Like, this fucking new age goddamn hippy-dippy bullshit, it makes my head want to fucking explode. Like, and then, on top of it all, just imagine trying to force the people who think they're all coming out to have a relaxing, enjoyable weekend away from their usual lives, and this is the bullshit that they have to fucking endure. This is just unbearable. Anything else? Any thoughts there?
No, I still think he was, you know, trying to do reverse psychology to some degree, because he knew his wife. And she couldn't resist just sitting around getting mode all day. And the people they brought with them, none of them had any interest at all in this. All they wanted to do was drink. They just wanted to drink as much as one of the Razor Ramones that isn't the lead drummer, because no one could reach that proportion and survive. But they wanted to get close to that level. And he knew this, so he was like, oh, well, clearly I'm not your number one, Captain Picard. And he gave a little wink. And he wanted to go do the stuff he wanted to do. He made that clear. So he went out and did all this hippie stuff by himself, so when they mocked it and they were falling down drunk and they were knocking people over that were trying to walk clockwise and to recite this mantra, he wasn't getting the bad Zen. His trip wasn't completely ruined. It was salvaged somewhat. Reverse psychology he used.
Now, while we're here, let me dive into this other fella. The fucking didgeridoo TP shitty Ted Nugent motherfucking fuck. Oh my God, this fucking guy. He gets all those fucking idiots in his stupid ass TP. He hits his damn gong. Then's telling everyone to just relax. He starts playing wind chimes. And then he pulls out this fucking didgeridoo. And it was just the absolute worst. just this fucking guy is just the kind of person that, and you know, if this would have been like 100 years ago, this guy would have just died. But now he gets to live in a world where the government probably pays for him to live and do this bullshit. And I'm a liberal. I love paying taxes to support bullshit. And I hate this guy.
I think you just don't like didgeridoos because QT Vokes made Kinsey Alexander extremely uncomfortable during turmoil by going on a 15-minute rant about didgeridoos.
This is not true. My father had a didgeridoo as a child, and I found it interesting. It always made me laugh. He would often play didgeridoo music. You know, maybe I do hate didgeridoo.
Did he used to play Outback Jack's theme song on it?
No. But what we used to call him when he would start playing it, I'd say, "What's up, you didgeridoo dork?" Take that, Dad.
No wonder he never takes you fishing with him.
He's taken me way many times. So who'd you hate?
Number one on my list this week was Paige.
Oh, my God. See, Paige should be on my list, but I have other reasons that she did not make it. But I'm with you 1,000,000,000%.
Now, Paige this week starts off with Foxy, and they have met a random fan that they have a picnic with, because why not? And this fan is like, "Oh, since you're having a random picnic with me and I'm just some fan that you met today, would you mind telling my parents I'm gay?" And she's like, "Sure, absolutely. That'd be great. Yeah, let's do it."
Real quick.
Like,
thank God, important news. There's a stupa in Bloomington, Indiana.
I think you should go.
I'm going to go to the stupa. Okay, I had to just point this out. All right, continue.
And so the guy's like, "Yeah, I live in Portland, Oregon. Is that a problem?" Now, at the time that this was taped, I want to say it was September-ish, October-ish of last year, probably, and most likely. They didn't go to Portland until February the 9th. And so Paige agreed to fly to Portland, Oregon, a city she wasn't going to, for the sole purpose of being there when this guy came out to his family. He's like, I'll take my day off and on my own dime go to Portland, Oregon, go to some stranger's house while their son comes out to them, because that's a perfectly reasonable thing to do for my fan, the fan that I met this morning. And so when Paige tells all the blonde broads at catering the plan, and they're like, that's the worst idea anyone's ever had, because they could be complete psychotic killers for all you know and would blame you and shoot you. He's like, I never thought of that. So she's like, Foxy, I don't want to do this anymore. So Foxy's like, well, just call him. Cancel. And he's like, oh, yeah, thank you so much for doing this. My mom had a heart attack and might be dead in a week, so this is the most important thing I'll ever do. But he's like, oh, yeah, can't wait to see you. And so they fly to Portland. And Paige is like, oh, yeah, so what are you going to say? And he's like, oh, if you could just tell me the exact words to tell my parents whom you've never met how I'm coming out to them, that'd be great. Thanks, Paige. I'm your number one fan. So Paige goes to this apartment. It looks like it's on Burnside in Portland. Have you ever been to Burnside?
Nope.
Horrible place. You don't really want to go to Burnside. Not the best part of Portland. Not by a long shot. So Paige is just sitting in this house with Foxy. Looked like it was like tiny apartment. There's roughly 30 family members living in this tiny little apartment. The mother, looks to weigh around 400 pounds. She'd had a heart attack a week earlier. They got a full camera crew with them. And the guy comes out, and the reaction of the parents, while Paige is sitting there just shaking, like, are they going to stab me? Or are they going to throw me out the window? The reaction is, eh, who cares? Eh. Can we get autographs from Paige and this other broad?
Huh.
But Paige, she had no idea. Had no idea what the reaction would be. She'd never met these people. Had no idea. But yet she, like, I'll take something extremely personal that's, like, the most important thing the guy will tell his family, according to him. And I'll just sit there and be witty and charming because I don't know what to do because I never thought this out. Didn't think 5 seconds ahead. Just decided, hey, I'll do it. Let me ask you this. Let's say there's a fan of the Razor Ramones in, oh, I don't know, let's say Nampa, Idaho.
Uh-huh.
And this guy in Nampa says, would you mind coming to Iowa for a fish sandwich? I'll treat. So you want the fish sandwich and you go to Iowa. And he's like, well, since you came to Iowa, would you mind going to Nampa, Idaho, which is thousands of miles from where you're going to be anyway, and just sit on my couch while I come out to my parents, whom you'll meet literally seconds earlier. Would you do this?
I was discussing with Beast earlier about how Justin Bieber no longer wants to do his fan meet and greets for $2,000 a piece. And I said that I would never, ever want to meet a single one of my fans. And in fact, I said, actually what would be better would be to take their $2,000, just spit square in the face, make them drink a cup of your piss, punch them in the liver, and then throw them out. Because fans are stupid. So I don't know. What kind of sandwich?
Fish. I'm going to say it's like a halibut even, top of the line, white fish.
No, if it would have been like possibly a Cuban, maybe even a Reuben would have got me out, but just a fish? I don't know.
Halibut, top of the line, white fish.
But it's not catfish. If it would have been like some nice catfish, some hot
sauce. Can you get
sauce,
good catfish
maybe?
In Iowa?
Probably. Why wouldn't you? There's great catfish all over the Midwest.
All right. I didn't know if they had catfish in Iowa or not. You can get catfish here, but it's flown in. It's not exactly fresh.
Yeah. Great catfish.
I wasn't
here.
Sure. Maybe that was the situation there in Iowa.
Now, let me interject real quick.
Let me interrupt you. If you ever want a great Cuban sandwich, you'll want to go down to Elliott's Bay on Lake City Way in Seattle. They have a tremendous Cuban.
Well, okay, I'll keep that in mind. That sounds like a great... I love a good Cuban. It's possibly my favorite.
This is a great Cuban. Not just a good one, it's a great one.
It's possibly my favorite kind of sandwich. Reuben is also up there. Just a nice tenderloin. They're all great sandwiches.
You know, I don't think I've ever seen a tenderloin in the entire state of Washington.
I'm positive you haven't because they're geeks. They don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen any sugar cream pie either.
Yeah, it's because it doesn't exist outside of the state of Indiana.
Can you imagine
like
a world without it? Euchre and sugar cream pie, that's all I need in my life.
What about the Miller Lite and the room temperature water?
Well, yeah, I need that too, but like euchre and sugar cream pie and persimmon pudding.
All right, continue.
So this Dustin fella, he made my list. I know that might seem rude. He's a homosexual fella who's wanting to come out to his family, and that's commendable. I respect that. I appreciate that. I support that. But what this fucking geek decides to do is to call Paige and Foxy to help him come out of the closet. Can you imagine two worst people on earth that could help you with anything ever? The two dumbest people. They'll probably spy on his parents for a month living in the house while wearing fake mustaches. And then finally on the last day, Foxy will just accidentally say, like, oh yeah, your son's gay as fuck, in front of the dad, and then just brush it off by spraying orange soda all over herself. So that's who this guy is. He decided to call Paige and Foxy. So, yeah, fuck off. Yeah, I mean, Paige and Foxy were in the wrong.
Let me interrupt you. Can you explain to me why in this episode Foxy seemed to have aged roughly 15 years?
It's her wigs that she's wearing now that she shaved her hair.
It wasn't the hair, it was her face. It looked like it had aged 15 years.
Maybe we ought to get JoJo the time traveling mole baby on to help us understand that there might be a very, very, very good explanation.
That's a possibility. We'll have to work on that. You didn't notice watching the episode before they got to that apartment? Foxy appeared to be in her mid to late 40s. Once they got to the apartment, she looked more like her normal self, but she definitely did not look too good there in the first 45 minutes of that episode. Continue.
Who else did you hate?
Number two, I had Lauren.
Yes.
Now, she was in the car as Bree asked for an itinerary.
Yes.
And she's just like, we're going to do that. We're going to do that. I just want to drink. All I want to do is drink. And just throwing a fit. Normally, Lauren's like the most sensible, calm one of the entire family out of anyone in that family. But all of a sudden, she's like, I'm just going to become Bree. I look like her. And I know JJ was checking her out backstage, so I'm just going to become Bree so JJ is more attracted to me. And she just threw this fit, and all she wanted to do was drink. Anytime they were like, we're going to do this, I just want to sit here and get Bree. She didn't want to leave the bar, just wanted to sit there and drink and drink and drink. Didn't care if she saw anything, a rock or a teepee or anything. She probably wouldn't have known if she'd seen it because she was so bremoted. She didn't know what she was doing.
Poor JJ. Speaking of JJ, I just want to toss this in here real quick. Nikki, she sees her brother, right? And she says, hey, JJ, did you hear about my neck? JJ, did you hear about my neck? I need you to lick it, as well as my back, my pussy, and my crotch. Lick my pussy and my crack. I just had that set in white. It was totally worth it. She said, did you hear about my... Yeah, I don't know. Whatever.
The thing with that, there wasn't JJ to determine who's more inappropriately dressed in the chest region, Bree, who has a see-through mesh shirt with a lacy brassiere, or Nikki, who's just plopping out from her wrestling gear. They're like, which one of us is more inappropriately dressed, JJ? And they're just shaking their chests at him, wanting him to stare at the chest lustfully. And he's like, not going to do this. And he looks back and checks. And then he's like, not going to do it, not going to do it.
No, you forgot. You forgot what happened. When his eyes popped out of his head and his tongue rolled out of his mouth and he had to roll it back up. And then he went, oh, woo, and steam blew out of his ears. Did you miss that part?
I did. I saw him try to look away and then glance back. If Hulk Hogan was there, he would shout from the distance, he's got lust in his eyes, brother.
Yep. Ah, brother. Who else did you hate?
Number three, I had Mark Carano.
Yeah,
now, this idiot calls a meeting, but Eva Marie and Mandy are so low on the totem pole, he can't even have the meeting in his office. He has to have it in the middle of the hallway. He's like, I don't even want to go into my office with these two because people might think that I'm responsible for them working here. So I'll just act like they're a couple of fans that showed up in the hallway as a part of a meet and greet. And he really hastily is like, oh, you have any creative ideas? Because creative doesn't want anything to do with you because they don't even know who you are. But we want you on TV because you're going to be the face of the company. But the writers don't know who you are, so they aren't going to write anything. So you got to do it all yourself. He's like, hey, you ever think of going blonde? You can go blonde. Why don't you be blonde even though I told you to change your hair to red?
It's all very true.
Not the best boss there that day. He's like, oh, yeah, you got to come up with all your creative stuff, but don't go over the head of the creative writers. But you got to be on TV, but we don't think you're ready. And he just kept contradicting himself.
Hair collars,
but he's the one that gave her the hair collar to start with.
Yep.
And the first time they had this meeting earlier this season, which apparently he forgot because he had the exact same meeting later. He already thrown out there, red and gold, got to be red and gold, want you to be red and gold. He'd forgotten it.
Hmm. Well, anyone else you hated?
That was my three.
Hmm. Well, let's talk about who I liked. Top person for me was...
Wait, aren't you going to go number three?
I don't know. Ty, whatever. Who cares? Just
Zane
whatever. Easily. Dean Ambrose. So this dude won't take his fucking sunglasses off for shitty Ted Nugent and the stupid little hippie hut. Daddy just spends the time in this little shit shack with this smug-ass smirk on his face, acting like he's above every stupid fucking thing that's happening. So good for you, Dino. Fuck shitty Ted Nugent. And then the fucking guy wears a shirt that says, I'm just here for the beer, while Daniel Bryan's cry-assing about his fucking hippie guru bullshittery. So Dean Ambrose, double win. Just totally above all of it. Didn't give a shit. Just wanted to drink his beers. Fucking fuck off, everybody. Boom.
Number three, I had Sarah.
Yes.
Now, Eva Marie comes up. She's like, Sarah, can I have 5 minutes? And she's like, oh, dear. Why did I sign on with this company? They send people like this to talk to me. And she just hated the fact that she had to give her time to Eva Marie, but she knew she had to. So she's like, okay. And Eva Marie's like, oh, they want us to be a tag team, but I'm too big of a brand, and I'm too important, and I'm a huge star, and this Mandy broad's not the star that I am. I'm Eva Marie, all red anything. My husband tells me that all the time, and so does my manager, the Rock's ex-wife. And Sarah's like, yeah, you're way above her, Eva Marie. You've had 2 weeks of lessons. She's only had 2 days. Major difference there, Eva Marie. And then Sarah is just done with her.
Eva Marie and her problems.
Dude, I think Sarah knew they both totally were horrible. They would never make any difference on TV in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
But she's like, well, I don't want to deal with the broad. I'll just agree with her, and that'll shut her up. And even her head is like, oh, Sarah Del Rey, thinks I'm the greatest prospect in all of NXT. I must be on to something here. But really, she did not. She just wanted to go home that day.
Poor Sarah Del Rey, having to deal with all these nitwits.
Now, if you're Sarah Del Rey and you've competed all over the world, you were in Ring of Honor, all this and that, and you're hired by WWE, you're sent down to NXT, and they're like, okay, we want you to coach these kids. It's some of the greatest prospects you'll ever see in your life. We hire nothing but the top talent. And they send you Eva Marie, who struggled just to do a shove in a battle royal. And they send you Mandy, whom got the, like, everyone gets a contract from Tough Enough. And that's who you're coaching. Would you still want to be a coach at NXT? Would you just quit the entire business and join a monastery somewhere?
I bet, and I'm just going to go out on a limb here, that she likes money to pay her bills, so I bet not.
Yeah, I don't know. Now, she wouldn't have any bills if she joined the monastery, would she?
Yeah, but maybe she likes TV. I bet her favorite show is probably something like American Pickers, and you can't watch that at the monastery.
I'm going to say Sarah Del Rey's favorite TV show would be, I would say, Supergirl.
Really? You think she's a comic book geek?
I think so. She strikes me as a superhero / comic fan. And I bet she's like, yeah, girl. Yeah, finally a girl superhero on TV.
Well, I'm logging into Twitter, and I'm going to see if we can get her to answer this question for us.
All right.
Sarah Amato, is that it?
I believe so.
We'll see if we can get an answer to this by next week. All right, for me, next what I liked was that little kid. Oh, that
no.
Kid. Yeah.
The one at the beginning.
Yeah, but do you understand why?
No.
So this little kid rolls up. He just tells Nikki how beautiful she is. He gives her roses, and he just totally no-sells like Geek Bree. He gets nothing from this fucking kid. This kid doesn't give two shits about her. He thinks Bree sucks. He's like, fuck you, Bree. As Bree walks away, he crotch chops her, tells her to suck it. It was awesome. And then Nikki, he's like, Nikki, you're the best. You're so much better than your garbage can sister. And I liked it. Good for that little kid.
Yeah, but then he made Nikki that much more overbearing. She's like, oh, that little boy loved me, and he thinks I'm the greatest thing. The little boy was like 11 years old. He didn't know any better. He's like, look, I put your action figure in this John Cena lunchbox so he can take care of you.
It's not is it Sarah D'Amato?
Yeah, I believe it is D'Amato.
Oh, let me look. Let me see if I can find it. I can't find her on Twitter. All right. Who do you like next? Oh, there she is.
Number two, I had TJ. Now,
yes, TJ was great.
TJ this episode wasn't in it much. But his wife, whom he cares enough to call his wife twice, I'm sure, she was at TV, and Mandy came up, and Mandy just wanted to work out in the ring when Natty felt better. That's all she wanted, all she cared about that day. But Natty, like, oh, my entire family's going on a family vacation. It's going to be everybody, all of the family going to be on vacation. Hey, you should bring your entire family and come with us. And so Mandy's like, oh, okay, yeah, my parents are separated. It's going to be extremely awkward. My brothers are lustfully chasing after me, much like J.J. Bella going after Bree and Nikki. But sure, we'll join your family, whom we've never met in our lives. So Natty's telling this to TJ, and TJ, in his mind, he's thinking, this is going to end horribly, but I can't wait to watch the train wreck because I can just sit back and not take part in any of it. I can just watch from a safe distance. So he's like, I have no idea who this Mandy is or why you would invite her on holiday with your entire family. And she's like, oh, yeah, there's going to be 15 of them joining us. It's going to be great, right? And TJ's like, you know, I got to go to the neighbor and see if they need to go on holiday too. Because he knew it was a horrible idea. But he wanted to bring the neighbor and bring 30 people. Then Anvil would fall off the wagon, start stealing everyone's pills out of their luggage, chasing them with a bottle of vodka each pill. He knew what was coming down the pike. But TJ's just like, I've basically had enough of this whole family. I'm just going to finish out the run here on Total Divas. Call it a career. He wasn't angry. He was fine. Now, 2 years ago, he would have completely lost it. He would have flipped completely out and gave several great points as to why this was a horrible, horrible idea. But he has lost the will to go on. So he's just like, yeah, I accept that. We'll bring 15 strangers that no one in your family has ever met and pay for them to be on holiday. And it'll be great when two separated people that don't get along start arguing in front of everybody. It'll be great entertainment, sure.
It would probably be pretty good entertainment.
Whoa, let me stop you. So let's say you go to work. Let's say you're, I don't know, a beer teacher. And you're teaching kids how to drink beer. And some guy, let's say it's the home economics teacher, walks up. And the home economics teacher says, hey, Rex, would you mind teaching me how to use this electronic chalkboard? And you're like, sure, but I'm taking my wife, and the kids, and the parents, and the in-laws on holiday. Why don't you bring your entire family and come along? We'll pay for it all. Now, is this something you would think would be a great idea?
I wouldn't say great. I would say fucking miserable. Yeah.
Now, let's say you say yes.
No,
and
I
then,
wouldn't.
Let's say you did, and then as everyone knows, you would change your mind minutes later.
Yeah.
Would you tell the home economics teacher, hey, you know, I didn't realize you planned to bring 35 people instead of just two. Maybe we should just take separate holidays, and I'll go on mine, you go on yours, we'll call it good. Or would you just say, eh, I guess I'll have to pay for all of them now. It's already done.
Mm.
Which would you do?
Whichever one has the most beer.
Well, let's say that the home economics teacher is a Mormon and they don't drink beer.
Oh, I'm not. There's not a chance then.
All right.
Yeah. If I'm going on vacation, there's going to be a lot of beer.
All right, continue.
I liked Renee Young.
Well, I had her at my number one.
Okay, she was the prescient awareness of rational musings, letting Paige know how fucking stupid it is that some weirdo geek wants her to come tell his parents that he's a gay fella. You know, that was it. That's my reason for Nae Young. Just this fella, she's like, hey, this guy's probably a fucking weirdo. Maybe don't go tell his parents that he's gay because it's fucking stupid and creepy and weird. Maybe let him handle his own personal outings. Maybe. And then Paige is like, oh, I don't know. I'm a fucking nitwit. So, that was that.
Now, while Renee is sitting and catering, talking about how her boobs are high and tight, and lifting them up into place.
Now, I have a question during that. Do you own a Fitbit?
No.
I am so glad you don't, because the pulse, the blood pressure on that would have went so through the roof, it would have exploded on your arm. I know what that would have done to you, so I'm glad you don't. I just wanted to stress that.
All right. And so while she's getting herself into place, all the blondes come over. And Paige is like, well, you guys are blonde. Let me tell you what's going on here. And all the blondes figured it out. But Renee Young didn't beat around the bush. She's just like, that's a stupid idea. He's a fan. He could be a stalker. You met him yesterday at a park.
Mm-hmm.
Not the best idea to fly to Portland, Oregon. Nowhere remotely close to where you'll be. The exact polar opposite part of the country from where you live on your day off. To sit there while he outs himself to his family.
Yeah.
Now let me ask you this. Let's say this is a hypothetical situation, but let's say Alomar decides to come out to the Razor Ramones. And
mm-hmm.
he calls a meeting at your house. No, let's scratch
Look,
that because nobody
can
find that.
Hey, wait. I think it's more likely Scrittany would come out.
But I'm using Alomar in this hypothetical situation.
Yeah,
now,
but it's hard for me to believe it. Let's do Scrittany.
All right, I'll put Scrittany
okay.
in here. Let's say Scrittany decides he wants to come out to the Razor Ramones. Nobody can
yeah.
find your house, so he calls the meeting at Alomar's place.
Yeah.
You all go to Alomar's place. You don't know what this meeting entails. But the day before, you've had a massive heart attack. So you're
mm-hmm.
sitting on the couch. And all of a sudden, while you're waiting for the meeting to start, this camera crew comes in. And then
yes.
in walks the social outcast. And they sit down on Alomar's chairs and his sofa, a couple of them on his bed. And then you're like, what's this about Crittany? And Crittany's like, well, I'm a gay fella, and I couldn't have done this without the assistance of the social outcasts. What would your thought process be?
I'd be proud of Scrittany, first off, for finally realizing who he truly is. And then I would just get a light party with the social outcasts. I mean, the radical mongoose, you know, you got me and Bo, we'd go off and play video games together. And then we'd just, Scrittany could go explore himself with Curtis and Heath. But you know what they wouldn't do? They don't eat dessert, brother.
Now, let's say the camera crew finally leaves, the social outcasts leave.
Uh-huh.
Would Alomar just start beating on Crittany and saying, how dare you? How dare you? Because I think that's what the parents did as soon as Paige and Foxy and the camera people left. They're like, okay,
well,
there's no camera crew and no divas to save you. And they just went off on the kid. I think that's what happened.
that's where you're mistaken. They did that not because of him bringing in these camera crews, having himself as gay. It was because of the horrid snail trails left on the new furniture by Page Fox.
Oh, that was definitely not new furniture. I'd have been there a long time. But I think they were just waiting for them to leave, because when the camera crew is there and Paige is sitting there all worried, they're like, oh, we don't care. And the kid was like, oh, they're hardcore, like, Christian conservatives that have told me how they don't like that type of thing. And it's hard to believe they'd be like, eh, don't care. Can we get autographs? As soon as they left, they probably beat that kid down, threw him into a broom closet, and locked it and told him he could come out of that closet when he gave up this gay thing.
Yeah.
And Renee Young knew this. Renee Young sensed that was what was going to happen, and try as she might to convince Paige, this was a very real possibility. Paige was like, oh, I've never heard such nonsense in all my life. And then Renee was like, well, then quit asking me for advice. I'm going to Sedona, Arizona. I'm just going to start drinking. Dean Ambrose might be there. He might not. Just going to start drinking. And then, out of everyone that was there, she hit the best dives into the pool of anyone.
Did she?
Yes.
All right. Let's wrap this up. What else is going on? What do you got happening?
Well, apparently, downtown is completely open again after Man and Tree was whisked to Harborview for free medical and psychiatric care. So if I wanted to, I could always go down there again until the next guy climbs up into a tree.
Yeah.
And then on Friday on Sun Guys Wrestling Show, we have, wrapping up WCW month, the Taskmaster Kevin Sullivan. He'll be on Friday. Then, on Sunday on Turnbuckle, we have, from your neck of the woods, Sexy Sean Casey, whom was just spotted on SmackDown last week. You probably saw him in an extra role at the bar. Then, I got to beeline it down to the North Portland Eagles and see what's going on with this Moonshine family, because there's tension in the air, a lot of tension between the Moonshine family.
A lot of tension.
Paul probably feeling it most of all, because that broad kicked him square in the junk last week. Square in the junk.
Mm-hmm.
There may not be any more future Moonshiners.
That would be a tragedy. I'm going to be spending my Friday nights watching your Indiana Hoosiers compete in the Sweet 16 of the 2016 NCAA March Madness Tournament. Cheering them on to victory against the lowly North Carolina shit heels. So that'll be a dolly. I know you'll be doing the same.
I will be cheering North Carolina, yes.
You couldn't. You just said you were for Duke.
Well, let me interrupt you. Whom is your favorite North Carolina men's basketball player of all time?
My favorite North Carolina men's basketball player of all time?
Yes.
Tyler Hansbrough.
Oh, interesting. I'd say mine's Eric Montross.
That's a good choice, too. And we picked them both because Montross a Celtic, Hansbrough a Pacer. So there you go.
All right.
Yeah, makes sense. So that's about it. Let's wrap it up. I can't wait till next week when we talk about the Hoosiers moving on to the Elite Eight and the Final Four. So until next
time. We are going to be doing total fantasies with Sun Guy and Rex. But we will get enough tea on what tea I'm drinking then.
All right. Until next time, dream about Sign Guys Tea. Tall Dude, Sign Guy Rex. Bye.
Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. It's time. Ba 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 ba